I'm talking with Vicky Cimarano, the executive director of Wild Pack. Vicky, what is Wild Pack?
Wild Pack is a political action committee that works to elect wilderness and public lands leaders at all levels of government. So in this past election, everything from president down to city or county council. Durango, Colorado.
And how can people find out more about Wild Pack?
You can go to our website, which is at www.wildpack.org.
Well, we're talking about the success and or failure of the environmental movement. And I'm curious to what degree you've participated in this debate.
With the elections, obviously, we've been directly involved with the activism of the environmental community. And we actually have seen great activity and great successes in light of course, the presidency, you know, the White House, we didn't win, but across the country there were winners, public lands leaders elected at all levels of government that we're very excited about and saw a lot of activity.
So does that tend to make you agree or disagree with the premise that environmentalism is dead?
I would have to strongly disagree. There are certainly some challenges that are ahead of us, and over, I'd say, you know, the past 4 years since George Bush became president, there's been a huge effort, an unprecedented effort by the oil, mining, and timber interests to invest hundreds of millions of dollars to help elect their friends. And I think right now they're holding all the cards in Washington with, you know, the Senate, the House, and the White House, that it's understandable that this is a challenging time to go up against these kind of resources and this kind of money, but this is not something that is necessarily new for the environmental community.
Now, in terms of empowering the environmental community to be more effective, what would be ideas that you feel would lead to greater success, particularly at the political level, which is where you focus?
Well, I think, you know, I wouldn't have to go too far from my own state to point to an example of success in where areas where the environmental community can build and grow on. And that's right here in Colorado with Ken Salazar being elected to the Senate. You know, he was elected in a deep red state with the slogan of for the land, water, and people. And he's a fifth-generation rancher, and he's a conservationist. So I think there are certainly opportunities and ways the environmental community can be electing more leaders in these traditional so-called red states that we need to be looking at. And part of this discussion, which I think is a healthy discussion, is figuring out what are those challenges and how can we rise to those occasions to try and figure that out.
That does sound like an extraordinary success. What would you say in Colorado was the basis for his success?
I think it was a combination of his background. He was a fifth-generation Coloradan, a rancher. He came from a family farm. He spoke to a lot of the values of his beliefs of conservationism and really resonated with people on those basic core issues. And he wasn't afraid to talk about them, too. I think one of the challenges sometimes that we face is politicians don't talk about the environment, where he embraced it and he talked about it in terms of values and his how he grew up and how he believed the land should be protected and the water is critical to business, to families, to health, to issues that are important to Colorado. So I think he was very successful in that.
In the last presidential election, the environment was almost essentially off the radar. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think I would agree that at the national level, the environment was not a part of debate, and I think that's certainly an area that was an opportunity for John Kerry to talk about the president's terrible, abysmal record on the environment. He didn't, for whatever reasons, take up that opportunity. But I think at a more, certainly at the state level, at the local level, we saw the environment throughout the campaign. Specifically in Colorado, both Ken Salazar and John Salazar, his brother who was elected to the House, talked about water issues. Just looking at our candidates in Oregon, David Wu talked about the environment. In Washington State, Christine Gregoire, the newly elected governor, talked about the importance of public lands and protection there. And even down to the county level, just to give you another example, similar to the Ken Salazar example in Colorado, a county council race in, believe it or not, Salt Lake County couldn't get more red than Utah, and a Democrat beat the Republican incumbent, and she talked about protecting Utah's wildlands. The environment was a part of the political debate, more at the local and state level, but it didn't rise to the national level. And that's something, you know, you could look in hindsight to whether Kerry took advantage of that or not, but didn't make it to the level of the debate.
One of the factors that was brought up in the paper and the extended debate was the fact that although the environment as an issue is actually something that most Americans are in favor of, quote-unquote, the environment, but that, unfortunately, their support for it isn't very deep. What's been your experience around that?
I would have to disagree, particularly just looking back to this election. WildPAC was created in 2001, and in part it was created because of the potential threats to wilderness and public lands by George Bush. And, of course, now that we've seen this is real, we've been able to see both the increased activism and involvement of a community that wasn't there before, going from zero to 2,500 members, raising and spending $650,000 to elect wilderness leaders at the, you know, as I said, at all levels of government. That wasn't there before. And I think you can point to other new and different kinds of groups similar to WildPAC, like there's a new Oceans PAC. There's a solar pack. There are groups that are being created and growing because of this new activism of wanting to get involved and seeing that politics is a part of the solution to wanting to protect the environment. It's more than just recycling. It's more than just cleaning up your local park. It's electing members who are going to stand for that, for those issues.
You spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., meeting with representatives and senators and promoting preservation of wilderness and wild places. When you actually sit down with these folks, what's been your experience? I mean, do they talk one thing and do another, or just share that with us, please?
My experience has been very positive in working and developing relationships with the members that we support. So, for example, one great example is Nancy Johnson from Connecticut, who's the leader for the Republicans to protect the Arctic Refuge. She was one of our first candidates that we supported in 2002. She had a tough race, and we helped to get her reelected. And she has continued to be a leader on these issues and support these issues. So we've certainly seen of the people that we have supported continued leadership and growth and needing new leaders too, and that's part of it is that we need more leaders as well as votes in Congress, because right now we don't have the votes for to protect wilderness and public lands or for issues that we want to see passed right now in Congress.
As you look into the short-term future here, what are issues that are on your table that you're working on?
Well, no question, the upcoming fight to protect the Arctic Refuge is the largest public lands and wilderness issue right now as far as nationally. And we're seeing that in a lot of different forms. Just going back to the power and the control in Washington right now, it's the oil mining and timber interests that, you know, hold all the cards. So it's going to be a tough battle. This is one where there is national support for wanting to protect the Arctic Refuge. The American public continues through polling to show that they want this area protected for future generations and that it's something that should not be touched, and that there are other ways to find conservation through energy efficiency or, you know, other ways. But that, no question, is, I think, one of the biggest upcoming fights. But then there's also kind of the resurrection of things that didn't happen in the last Congress in areas in Colorado, New Mexico, a lot of the western states where they are dealing with oil and gas drilling, and just this aggressive position that this administration is taking to open up the West to oil and gas drilling.
That's going to become a huge battle, and I think the mandate is adding a lot of a kindling to his fire. What are your hopes that we'll be able to sort of turn that around?
Well, I think that goes back to what WildPAC works on, which is to help elect state and local officials who can you know, send up through the chain to their senators and members of Congress to say this isn't what we want, because in many of these Western states, it's very localized, and whether it's Wyoming or New Mexico with Otero Mesa, the local communities don't want this, the oil and gas drilling, yet the Washington oil, you know, funded by the oil mining and timber interests want to see that happen. So it's really trying to elect state and local level candidates who can protect these areas and be active on the ground to try and make sure it doesn't happen.
How is the public expressing their concern to protect their lands, those that do? You know, what are the issues that really have power and resonate with them that you're hearing?
Well, certainly there's wanting to protect these lands for future generations. I think that's one thing that Americans want to see, that they can bring their kids or their grandkids to their favorite park or their favorite canyon that they can go visit. But I think one thing that you had mentioned, that oil and gas is really, you know, I think they're a cutting edge issue where we're going to see a lot more of it and a lot more effects of it, is gets to also our air and our water, that there are ramifications of that activity that goes into our groundwater, that goes into our air quality, so really affecting the whole quality of life, I think, which is the core issue of wanting to protect our environment and protect our quality of life.
Are you hearing people discussing this? Is this generating discussion within the environmental community?
I don't believe so. I mean, it is in a very small handful of its leaders, but when you get out to the communities, there's no sign of it.
And that may be part of the important message, and that is something that I keep hearing as well, that for those people who are out in the field, they keep working.
It's a discussion, and it's an important one, and you know, looking to particularly this last election, we need to look at things and analyze and ask some tough questions, but I'd say the majority of folks are moving forward and continuing to work hard.
Vicki, is there anything else that you'd like to share in this regard, this issue and this topic?
Just to reiterate that I think that that this debate is an important one, and that these guys are asking some tough questions, but clearly environmentalism is not dead and it's not going away. And the debate is an important one, and if anything, it's only going to strengthen and build the community to be a stronger and more effective group.
Vicki Cimarano, Executive Director of WildPack, I want to thank you for giving your thoughts on the Wildside News.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for listening to this special edition of the Wildside News. The one thing that is clear is that the environmental movement is a vital, diverse, impassioned, dedicated alliance, sometimes formal, often very personal, of great and amazing people. Are we witnessing the death of environmentalism? Based on the voices of the earth I've heard today, I say no, not at all. There's no way that the millions of people who love the earth, who care about the wild lands and grand and mysterious creatures, who walk amongst the cedars or sleep beneath the starry, starry skies, will ever disappear. And in all fairness to Michael Schellenberger and Ted Nordhaus, I say thanks. I hope your clarion call sounds clear, that we must grow and change with a changing environment, just like anything that wants to stay alive. If anything, this will anneal our will to live for life, for our future, for our nation, and hopefully, sometime before too long, the wisdom to live in peace with all of life on Earth. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios, and thanks for hearing this special Voice of the Earth presentation. We will succeed. The Voice of the Earth is growing louder. Thanks for listening.